Let God transform your life as you listen to this inspiring sermon by Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb.
On March 27th, 1977, the worst airplane disaster in history took place right here in Africa. Pan Am Flight 1736 and KLM Flight 4805 were both on the runway at Los Rodeos Airport, preparing for takeoff. Heavy fog blocked visibility, and confusion in the air traffic control tower led to a misunderstanding in the cockpit of the KLM plane. Without any warning, the KLM plane began racing down the runway for takeoff, heading straight for the Pan Am aircraft. By the time the two pilots saw each other, the KLM plane was going too fast to stop. KLM slammed into Pan Am at 160 miles per hour, shearing off the roof of the plane and triggering a huge explosion. All 248 people on board the KLM plane were killed instantly. Some of the people on board Pan Am died in the impact also. But surprisingly, several hundred people on the Pan Am plane survived the initial impact. Floy Heck was one of the Pan Am passengers who survived the initial crash. She was seated between her husband, Paul, and her friend, Lorraine Larson, when the accident took place. As fire began to engulf her jet and smoke filled the air, Floy sat frozen in fear and shock. But then she heard the voice of her husband, Paul, calling to her. Paul had unfastened his seatbelt, gotten out of his seat, and was calling to his wife, "Floy, get up! Floy, get up! Follow me!" In an instant, Floy Heck made the decision that would save her life. She unfastened her seatbelt, got out of her seat, and started to follow her husband, Paul, down the aisle. Through the smoke, past the fire, Floy Heck followed her husband to an exit in the middle of the plane over the wing. Before jumping out of the plane to safety, Floy turned and looked back at her friend Lorraine. Lorraine was still sitting in her seat with her belt fastened, staring straight ahead, too afraid to move, too shocked to follow. Lorraine just sat there. Floy followed Paul out of the burning plane. She followed him out onto the wing of the aircraft and jumped to the ground. They quickly ran as far away from the burning Pan Am plane as they could before an explosion ripped through the wreckage. Floy and her husband Paul were just two of the 61 people from the Pan Am flight that survived the crash. Sadly, 335 people died on the Pan Am plane, including Lorraine Larson. And worst of all is this fact. Most of those who died on the Pan Am plane were not killed by the accident itself. They died because they refused to get up and follow others to safety. They died needlessly in the fire that consumed the plane after the accident. There's a powerful lesson for all of us today in the tragic but true story of the world's worst airplane disaster. Just like Floy Heck, all of us face a choice today, a choice to get up and follow Jesus and live, or stay behind and die. For you see, Jesus calls us all to follow him out of the darkness and death of this world into the light and life of his kingdom. He says, "Follow me, and I will show you the way to live your best life." That's the message in our sermon today. We're going to discover what the Bible says about Christ's invitation to follow him and learn the powerful promise available to all of us when we do. But before we learn more, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We come before you today and ask that you would speak to us, O Lord. We submit to you now and bind every voice of the enemy that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to enlighten our hearts and minds to the truth, the power to give us the grace to get up and follow you. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us today, that we might know the truth and live our best life ever. We thank you by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and join your faith with mine right now. Just put your hand on your chest and say after me, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our broadcast. It's great to have you join me today as we receive the word of the Lord. I believe that you're not here by accident, but that God has planned for you to join in and hear his word to you today. And because this is part of God's plan for your life, I believe that God is going to do great things in you through this message. You see, God himself has an invitation to you today. And he brought you within the sound of my voice to give you a clear invitation to follow him. If you'll get up and move towards Jesus, you'll move towards life. If you'll answer his invitation, he will take you out of death and bondage and darkness and deliver you into your best life. But there's something you must do in order to follow Jesus. You have to answer his invitation and make a choice. And when you make that choice, God shows you the way to life. He promises you a new life that is better than anything else in this world. That's the powerful promise we find in our scripture text for today's sermon. Our text for today comes from Psalms 25, verse 12. It's just one simple verse, so I'd like to invite everyone to read it out loud together with me. Wherever you are, it's on the screen. Are you ready? Let's read it like we mean it. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. When people choose to follow the Lord, he shows them the best way to live. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love this simple verse from Psalm. It's a powerful promise filled with hope and opportunity. It's a powerful promise for each and every one of us today. For you see, the fact is, we all want a better life. We're all looking for the best way to live. We're all hoping to make the best choices to get the best results. And here's what God promises us. He says, if you'll choose to follow me, I will show you your best life. See, friends, the fact is, you can only have your best life when God is in your life. He's the one who truly loves you. He's the one who created you. He knows all about you. He knows what will satisfy you and fulfill you. And you can trust in him to show you the best way to live. But this promise has a condition. The promise is not available for everybody. This promise specifically says you'll only get the best life when you choose to follow the Lord. There's a choice you have to make. There's something specific you have to do. So today, let me give you three truths about the invitation to follow Jesus. And here's your first truth today. The invitation to follow Jesus is made to you. Our scripture text for today tells us when people choose to follow the Lord. And that's great news for all of us. There are no restrictions on who can answer the call to follow Jesus. If you're a person, then this invitation is for you. See, the invitation to follow Jesus is available to anyone and everyone. That's why the Bible says in John 3:15-16, everyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And the fact is, God loves everyone, every person alive. He loves every one of us, and salvation is available to everyone. One of the greatest words in the Bible is whoever. Just listen for a moment to some of the powerful promises for whoever in the New Testament. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven, Jesus said. Whoever drinks the water Jesus gives them will never thirst. Whoever lives by believing in Jesus will never die. Whoever believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Whoever believes in Jesus will never be put to shame. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And over again, God opens up his blessings, his life, his love, his salvation for whoever, for anyone, for everyone, for whoever. Can you grasp that truth today? The way is open for you. The chance is available for you. You may be poor, but you're a whoever. You may be weak, but you're a whoever. You may be a sinner, but you're a whoever. You may be from a bad family, from a small village, but you are whoever. So just put your hand on your chest and say, I am a whoever. You may be excluded in the world, but you are included in the invitation to follow Jesus. Companies exclude you if you're not talented enough. Schools will exclude you if you're not smart enough. The Miss Universe contest will exclude you if you're not beautiful enough. And sadly, some churches will exclude you if you're not good enough. But when everybody else walks out, Jesus walks in. When others turn their backs, Jesus turns to you. When people fold their arms, Jesus opens his arms to you. And if no one else will love you, Jesus died on the cross for you to show you how much he loves you. See, his invitation to you is a free gift that comes out of his love. You don't earn the invitation to follow Jesus. That's why Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. And you don't get invited to follow Jesus because you're good. You don't get invited to follow Jesus because you were raised in church. You don't get invited to follow Jesus because you've been baptized or because you give money or because you say a special prayer. The invitation is open to everyone because God loves everyone. And the good news is this: anyone can get up and follow. It's a simple choice. Look at those who followed Jesus in the New Testament. There was a man named Matthew, a tax collector. He was a thief and a sinner, but he was invited to follow Jesus. And when he got up and followed Jesus, he became one of the 12 disciples. Peter and James and John were fishermen. They weren't educated and they weren't wealthy. But Jesus said to them, follow me. They were invited to follow. And all throughout his time on earth, Jesus gave a simple invitation to all kinds of people with all kinds of problems. Jesus simply said, follow me. The woman caught in adultery was a sinner. Paul was a blasphemer. The woman at the well was a prostitute. But God calls anyone and he calls everyone. It doesn't take preparation. It doesn't take education or training. It doesn't take money. It only takes a willingness to answer the call. For God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And the invitation to follow Jesus doesn't require special talents, abilities, or status. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 27, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And that's why I'm convinced anyone can follow. It's simple. You're not asked to find your own way. You're not asked to make up your own path. You're not required to know anything except to follow the one you know. For the command to follow is so simple, even a child can do it. Whether the task is simple or difficult, anyone can follow when an expert shows them how. For example, you may not know the directions to the church, but if I am going there and I know the way and I invite you to follow me, then you can follow and find it. You may not know how to play the keyboard, but if you get next to a professional keyboard player, he can show you the keys to play and you can follow his example and play a song. Anyone and everyone can follow. That's the lesson we can learn from the amazing experience of a man named Doug White. In April 2009, Doug White and his family were flying together in a private airplane when suddenly the pilot slumped over in his seat and was unconscious. Doug jumped up into the cockpit and tried to revive the pilot, but the pilot had a heart attack and had died. Doug White and his family were on their own in a plane flying 10,000 feet above the ground. The plane was just flying through the sky on automatic with no pilot at the controls. The family was panicked. The wife and children were crying. They didn't know what to do. None of them had ever flown an airplane like this before. So the father, Doug White, got up, sat in the pilot seat, got on the radio, and said to the air traffic controller, "The pilot is dead. I don't know how to fly this plane. Help!" And do you know what the air traffic control people said? "Just follow our instructions. We'll tell you what to do. You just follow it. We'll talk you through the entire landing." And that's what they did. They told Doug, "Do this. Now move that. Now lift that lever." And the experts talked the novice through the entire landing. Doug White was able to land the plane safely, and his family was rescued because he was able to follow the commands of those who knew the way. And that's what Jesus says to us. Just follow my commands. Just follow me. This one single requirement is the command most often given by Jesus to men in the New Testament. It's a command taught by Jesus over 20 times. He told us to do this more often than he commanded us to pray, or to give, or to repent, or even to believe. It's an instruction he gave to us that will guarantee our deliverance and salvation. Yet most people don't obey this one simple instruction. Follow. One simple word. One simple command. Follow Jesus. Follow is one of the most simplest commands in the world. Do what I do, say what I say, follow me. Anyone can follow. And you would think because following is so simple, everyone would do it. But not all men follow because it's a choice we have to make. It's a decision that leads to a direction. And that's our second truth today. The invitation to follow Jesus requires your choice. Our text for today in Psalm 25 tells us that anyone and everyone is invited, but in order to obtain the promise, you have to choose. Listen again to what it says, when people choose to follow the Lord. So following God requires a choice. It doesn't require experience or education or talent, but it requires you to choose. This is what the Bible tells us in Joshua 24:15. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And the fact is, you cannot save yourself. You cannot earn forgiveness of your sins. But there's one thing God does require for you to do. He requires you to choose to follow him. For the power to save comes from God, but the choice to follow him comes from you. When you think about it, God has done everything he can to save you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to give you the truth. He sent me here today to preach to you. But unless you make a decision today to follow him, none of those things will help you. There may be 1,000 steps between you and God today, and God will take 999 steps towards you. But there's still one step you must take. You must take the step to choose to follow Jesus, because you can't have Jesus unless you follow Jesus. And that's the invitation to you today. It's to follow him. You can't serve him if you don't follow him. That's why Jesus said in John 12:26, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. Many years ago, my family and I lived in a nice bungalow in a large compound. There was a separate outbuilding about 10 or 15 meters from the main house, and in this outbuilding, I'd built my office. I used to go out there during the daytime to work. Well, one day, I was outside working in the compound behind my office building. I heard the door to our bungalow open, and the voice of my daughter, Annabelle, called out. At that time, Annabelle was probably about 5 years old, and she'd come outside to find me. But I was hidden behind the other building, so when she came out from the bungalow, she couldn't see me. She called out, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you? I want to see you." I started to move out from behind the outer building when suddenly the Holy Spirit stopped me. "Stay where you are," he said, "and let her find you." So I called out to my daughter, "Annabelle, I'm over here behind the office building. Come and find me." I could sense her hesitation, and she stayed right where she was by the door of the bungalow. After a minute, she called out again, "But Daddy, I don't see you. I can't come to you if I can't see you." And then I said to her, "Just follow my voice. If you follow my voice, you'll find me." I could tell she took a few steps down the pavement, and then she stopped again. "But Daddy, I don't see you. Where are you?" "Just follow my voice," I said, "and you'll come to where I am." So we went back and forth. I kept calling to her, and she kept taking a few hesitating steps towards me. And all of a sudden, after a back and forth of a few minutes, her little head popped around the corner of the garage building. She followed my voice and found me. And that's what Jesus invites you to do today, because when you follow his voice, you will always find him. Yet this is the place where many people make a mistake. They think that Jesus is asking us to join a religion. They think that in order to be saved, Jesus is asking us to give money or fast and pray. But you can do all those things and still not follow Jesus. So understand today what Jesus is inviting you to do. He's not inviting you to like him on Facebook. Jesus is not inviting you to be his fan. Jesus is not inviting you to be his supporter. He's inviting you to be his follower. Jesus is inviting you to follow his voice so you can come close to him. He's calling you to be with him where he is. See, friends, there's a big difference between a fan and a follower. A fan is an ardent admirer. A fan gets excited about his hero. A fan will go to a stadium and cheer and yell for his idol. A fan will talk about his idol. He'll wear a t-shirt with his idol's name and picture. He may even use his hero's picture as his profile picture on Facebook. I remember one day I opened my official Facebook page and saw that Michael Essien, the great Ghanaian footballer, had liked my page. Michael Essien had become my fan and was following me on Facebook. Hey, I was so excited. But then I looked closely and saw that though the picture was Michael Essien, the person who had liked my Facebook page was Daniel Tete from Tesinungwa. Hey! Daniel Tete was a fan of Michael Essien, so he used Essien's picture as his profile. But Jesus is not asking you to make his picture your Facebook profile picture. He's not trying to get you to like him. He's inviting you to follow him. For a fan is not the same as a follower. A fan is an admirer, but a follower is devoted. A fan is a spectator, but a follower is a participant. A fan stands at a distance. A follower is right by your side. A fan's only interest is in what enjoyment or pleasure he gets from what his hero does. But a follower gets pleasure from being together with the one he follows. A fan comes and goes, but a follower stays at all times. A fan can even become hostile if his hero doesn't perform well. But a follower is loyal through thick and thin. It costs little to be a fan, but it costs everything to be a follower. So let me ask you a question today. Are you a fan of Jesus Christ or a follower of Jesus Christ? This has always been the question for man to answer. In fact, when Jesus lived on earth, there were these same two groups of people. In Jesus' day, he had fans and he had followers. Listen to John chapter 6, verses 2, 26, and 66. A great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he'd performed by healing the sick. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me because you ate the loaves and had your fill. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And understand what the Bible is telling us. There were people in Jesus' day who were fans of Jesus. They loved him. They cheered for him. They clapped for him. They stood and watched him and applauded him. They attended his events. They wore t-shirts with his picture. They stood in line to receive his bread and get his touch. But they were not followers. Because there came a time when he asked them for commitment. There came a time when he asked them to follow him, and they said no. It was one thing to be a fan, but it was a completely different thing to be a follower. So which one are you? Are you a fan of Jesus Christ or a follower of Jesus Christ? Because I'm afraid today that our churches are filled with fans of Jesus, but very few followers. In the church, we sing about Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We wear Jesus hand bangles and Jesus t-shirts. We use Jesus' picture as our Facebook profile picture. We attend his meetings and give a little money to his cause. We get excited and cheer about Jesus. We like what he does for us, but we don't follow him. We don't obey him. We don't do what he says. We're fans, not followers. And for many, when the test of faith comes, they walk away. Just like the people in John 6, we have millions of church members all around the world who are walking away from Jesus when things get tough. If the bread stops coming, we walk away. If the healing doesn't come, we walk away. If I don't get my life partner, we walk away. If I don't get my child, we walk away. If persecution comes, we walk away. If an opportunity to sin comes along, we walk away from Jesus because we're not following him. We're simply fans who applaud. And Jesus is asking you a question today. Are you a fan or a follower? Is your faith based on the truth that Jesus is the Son of God? Or is your faith based on the good feelings you get when he answers your prayers and blesses your life? Hallelujah. The fact is, many people today are Christians because they were born into a home where the family went to church. Many today are Christians because they're not Muslim and they're not idol worshipers. Many today are Christians because they hope for the bread and the miracles Jesus gives. But the fact is this, Jesus never called anyone to be a Christian. He never asked us to subscribe to a certain creed or a set of rules. Jesus didn't ask us to sign a membership agreement. He says one thing and one thing alone, follow me. He calls everyone to follow him. And there are only two choices for you today, only two paths, follow Jesus or not. There's no middle ground. There's no third route. There's no alternative. You either follow Jesus or you don't. For he said in Matthew 7, 13 to 14, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. And the call to follow Jesus is for everyone, but only those who choose to follow, only those who do follow will enter the kingdom of heaven. But when you do choose to follow, then God gives you the best life. And that's our third truth today. Choosing to follow Jesus leads to your best life. Listen to how our scripture text for today ends. He shows them the best way to live. In other words, when you answer the invitation and follow Jesus, then Jesus leads you to your best life. That's why in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The very purpose and reason Jesus came was to give you abundant life. And because he's the author of life, anyone who chooses to follow him will always have life, the best life, the life God planned for you. And you can have that life today when you choose to follow Jesus. For the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:11 to 12, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. In just a minute, I'm going to give you the chance to make that choice yourself and follow Jesus. I'm going to invite you to pray with me and receive the life he has for you. But before I do that, I want to give you one final truth to pack up and take home with you today. You make choices, and your choices make you. Just say that with me. You make choices, and your choices make you. The choices you make today will determine the direction of your life. If you choose to follow Jesus, he will show you the best way to live. You may not know where your life will take you, but if you'll surrender to him and choose to follow him, I guarantee you your life will go in the best direction. If you make the best choice, you'll get the best life. But you stand today at a decision point. You stand today facing the call and the invitation of Christ, not just to believe in him, not just to attend church, but to follow him. And the choice you make today will set the direction for your life. In the nation of Switzerland, there's a mountain. You can climb this mountain and stand on the top. And on the top of this mountain, it overlooks three different rivers. If you stand on this mountain in Switzerland and cast a stone to the east, it will roll down the mountain and fall into a river called the Danube. The Danube River flows to the east and empties into the Black Sea, hundreds of miles to the east. If you take a different stone and throw it to the north, it will land in the Rhine River. The Rhine River flows north and empties into the North Sea above Germany and Denmark. But if you throw a stone to the south, it will roll down the mountain and land in the Rhone River. The Rhone River flows south and empties into the Mediterranean Sea by Italy and Greece. Three stones all start from the same place, but they end up in destinations thousands of miles apart. What makes the difference of where they land? The ultimate destiny of the stone is determined by the direction in which it is cast. And so it is in life. If you choose to follow Jesus, that choice will cast your destiny in the right direction. For you are a result of the totality of your choices. Who you are today is a result of yesterday's choices. And who you will become tomorrow will be a result of today's choices. And even when those choices seem like small daily decisions, they add up to impact the direction and destiny of your life. For you make choices, and your choices make you. And the choice you make today and every day will determine the person you become in this life and in eternity. If you make better choices, you'll make a better you. You'll make a better life. And the best choice is to follow Jesus. When you choose to follow Jesus, God promises to show you the best way to live. Your best life on this earth comes when you choose to follow Jesus. And your only life in eternity comes from following Jesus. For there's only one way to heaven, only one way to eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ. A choice to follow him is the difference between life and death. But it's a simple choice you can make right now. So let me guide you to make that choice. This is what God is asking you to do today. First of all, admit you are a sinner and ask God to forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Secondly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And number three, commit yourself to God. Acts 2:38 says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you're watching today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You say, I believe in God. You may even attend church, but there's never a time when you've taken that decision to make these three steps to a new life. I'm going to help you do that today. In just a minute, I'm going to lead you in a prayer so you can believe on the Lord and confess and repent of your sins and commit yourself to him. Maybe you're listening today and you're not certain that you're following Jesus. You believe in God, you love Jesus, but you can't remember the day or place when you actually made a choice to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're just not sure if you've taken those steps. Let me encourage you today, don't remain unsure. Pray with me today and take these steps to salvation. There's no harm in doing it again if you're not sure. I encourage you to do it today. Maybe you're joining in today and you're backslidden. You used to be close to Jesus, but lately you've become so distant from Him. You no longer obey His word. You're not committed to Him as you used to be. You can take these steps today once again. You can pray with me today too and accept the Lord, believe His word, and commit yourself to Him. God is calling you. He's reaching out to you today to save you and welcome you to His kingdom. But you have to take that step of faith and come to Him. If you'll take that step of faith, He will welcome you into His family. Wherever you are right now, I invite you to pray with me and make the choice to follow Jesus. Will you bow your head and just pray this prayer out loud after me? Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you to save me today. I confess I have sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your child. Please forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died on the cross and rose from the dead so that I might be saved. I ask you to come into my heart now by the power of the Holy Spirit and make me born again. I give my life to you and promise to obey you and follow you. Save me from my sin. Deliver me from the devil. Heal me and fill me today. I thank you now by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God richly bless you. Now, if you just prayed that prayer along with me, I want to encourage you that God has begun a really good work in you. He's heard your prayer and He's working in your life. And I want you to know that all of us at Agape House are here for you. We're praying for you and we want to help you in your faith journey. So here's what I'd like you to do to stay connected so that you can continue to follow Jesus. Please let us know about your decision today. You can send an email to testify@agapehouseghana.org. The address is on your screen. You can also complete the online decision card at our website, www.agapehouseghana.org. I have some material I would like to send to you free of charge, so please write me today and complete your online decision card. Let's stay connected so that we can walk together and grow together in Christ. God richly bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb is the senior pastor of Agape House New Testament Church in East Lagon. If you are ever in Accra, we would like you to worship with us on Saturday night at 6 p.m. or on Sunday at 7:30, 9:30, or 11:30 a.m. You will have an awesome experience. We're here.